You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith with today's special edition of Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and co-hosting this morning, Wayne Majors from Loyola
Happy
University.
New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy, New Year. Blessed, healthy yes. New Year. You know, Wayne, I can't believe that it was 2 weeks ago yesterday, Christmas, a week ago yesterday, January 1st. It's like the last time you and I were on the radio together was 3 weeks ago today.
Yes.
We did a Christmas show
for the
weekend.
Which we hope everyone listened to and taped and
the entire
continues
world
to listen to over
daily.
And over and over again.
But how quickly it came. And the other thing is, we're having an incredible mild winter.
Yeah, it's been great.
Back
it's
in Thanksgiving, all you saw in headlines were, be prepared for the worst Chicago winter in over 30 years, between 50 and 60 inches of snow. Well, to this point, folks, we've had about 1.5 inches of snow. Most of the days have been above average. Now, even if Wayne, were to get pounded between now and March 1st, it's just a shortened season for winter.
Unless that pounding lasts till May 1st.
Well, that's true. But you always think in terms of, our engineer Michael Mays does make a point that there is still over two months left of winter. But still, each day gets us closer to spring, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful mild winter. Did you go anywhere over the holidays?
I was west. I was in Southern Nevada for a while and then Southern California, and it was nice to get away for a little bit.
And I just was
Seems
around
like a
here.
A long time ago.
Get ready for your next trip. But on the special Catholic Schools Today, first of our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. In our first segment, students from St. Viator and St. Martin de Porres High Schools found they have more in common than their Viatorian teachers at a Bridges retreat held in December at the Bellarmine Jesuit Retreat Center in Barrington, Illinois. They explored issues of racism, discrimination, prejudice, and stereotyping, and the Christian response to all of that. St. Viator students came with their campus ministry directors, Kelly Wilda and Tim Masterton. The two-day retreat gave students plenty of time to build relationships. The two schools hope to build on the retreat and gather together again for service opportunities. And with us via phone, the campus minister director, Kelly Wilda, and another campus minister director, Tim Masterton. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today, Kelly and Tim.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
Good to be with both of you. How were your Christmas holidays and the New Year?
Very good, thanks. Very, very brief, of course, you know.
Yeah, you know what, Tim, you're right. It does go by fast. So tell us about this whole wonderful two-day retreat entitled Bridges Retreat. Whose idea was it and how the whole thing come about?
Sure. Well, the Bridges Retreat itself is almost 10 years old now, and it originated downstate with some Viatorian brothers and priests who were looking for a way to kind of address these complex and sometimes controversial issues, but in a more down-to-earth relational way with our students, with our high schoolers and our teenagers. And so it began downstate but moved up to St. Viator maybe 7 years ago or so, and it has evolved over the years. But it's just a way for us to gather kids from different backgrounds, different communities, and in this case, different high schools, and bring them together to get to know each other and kind of let those relationships be built before we kind of tackle these difficult issues of, you know, institutionalized racism and prejudice. And, you know, when you know how it affects people differently, that changes your perspective, I think.
Kelly, tell us how the group came together. How do you decide, or is it voluntary as to what students actually participate?
It is voluntary. Our freshmen don't go on this one, but the sophomores, juniors, and seniors are invited to attend, and they go into it knowing that it's not going to be a typical retreat that St. Viator might offer, but that they're going to be challenged a little bit more to just think outside of their box and their comfort zone, I suppose, for lack of a better word. And then we had three seniors as leaders, so they had been either on the retreat in the past or involved in some sort of a peace-building leadership position prior to this retreat.
Okay, now these are not, you're right, these are not your typical retreat topics when you start looking at issues and the complexity of racism, discrimination, prejudice, stereotyping. Tell us the brain work that goes on in order to put the agenda together and actually make this a meaningful experience for the students.
You know, I think a lot of it comes from the hard work of the Viatorians here at St. Vider High School. It's such an important part of their mission, and it really comes through in the classroom as well as outside of the classroom opportunities. Some of our students have participated in the Peace Builders program out of Catholic Theological Union, and there's a number of different opportunities that have really prepared our students to wrestle with these topics. So in some ways, we're spoiled. We're the beneficiaries of good Catholic educators before us that have really prepared them to look at these issues, but from a Christian perspective, and look at what's the Christian response, you know, with love and compassion to issues of immigration, and also realizing that these aren't issues that are just tied to skin color or economic background.
They go way beyond that. Kelly, how many students from both schools participated?
We had 17 students attend, and then St. Martin's had 18 students, so a total of about 35.
Again, at the Robert Bellarmine Retreat Center up in Barrington.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, whenever you begin a retreat with icebreakers, for example, I'm sure that the 17 students from St. Vider's knew each other or at least each other in the hallway, the same with the students from St. Martin de Porres. But all of a sudden, you know, you have 35 teenagers in the one room. What was, for example, like an opening icebreaker? So at least people start feeling comfortable with each other.
Well, we just did get to know you sorts of things, which we actually asked a lot of the student leaders to lead, things that they would be comfortable with, things that would get the kids up and moving and sitting next to somebody maybe that they didn't know before, and then starting those conversations. You know, the things that they have in common, friendships and jobs, concerts, things like that, things that so that they could find those commonalities before we tackled the bigger issues.
Now, you know, stepping back and looking for a moment in your both Kelly and Tim, your roles as campus minister directors, the topics that you worked with, that you talked about at this Bridges retreat back in December, and translating it into the classroom, translating it into the bigger, broader society, not only at St. Vider's and St. Martin de Porres, but elsewhere. Is it, and I'm asking the question based on what I see and hear, especially by students even at the university level, but is it safe to assume that these are the kinds of topics, when we talk about racism, discrimination, prejudice, that are very much alive in the minds and hearts of these students already, and giving them an opportunity to really come together and talk about them and kind of unpack the various complexities of these various issues is something that is easier to do today than it may have been 10 or 15 years ago when these topics were not as on the forefront of the minds of even our society. Would you agree, Tim?
Yeah, I think you're definitely right on that. Just looking at the newspaper, you know, even looking at topics that are covered in classes across curriculum, at St. Vider, for instance, these are issues that are unavoidable for better or worse. And so I think one of the most helpful things we can do as campus ministers, and that some of our colleagues from St. Martin's helped us with on the retreat, is really giving our students the language to enter into these discussions so that when they hear about immigration reform or they read a news story or they even hear a friend of theirs making a joke that before was okay and now is different because of their experience on retreat, I think that's how we can tell that we're actually, you know, we're making an impact, even if it's just in the smallest way.
The thing is, what was one of the biggest surprises for either one of you about the retreat? What, anything that surprised you in terms of a response of a young person or how they were coming together? Because when you're talking about these topics, you know, racism, discrimination, prejudice, stereotyping, you know, these are topics many adults want to shy away from. Here you had high schoolers confronting these topics. So did anything surprise you from the two-day retreat?
I'm always impressed by the students when they are able to be so open and honest and talk compassionately to one another about what's on their minds or what they've experienced, but that once they're able to identify with another person that, oh, I'm not alone in this, somebody else has gone through this. I think that's one of the most beautiful things that comes away from this retreat, is that they're able to find somebody else who has experienced something just like they have, that maybe comes from a different background or has a different future than them, something like that, but that they're able to relate that and find that commonality.
We're talking about the Bridges Retreat that was held back in December between St. Viator and St. Martin de Porres High School students with Kelly Wilda and Tim Masterton, campus minister directors. You're listening to Catholic Schools Today, Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. It's 9:10 in the morning. We'll be right back.
If someone close to us begins to talk about their childhood sexual abuse, many of us don't know how to respond. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Assistance Ministry is offering a one-day workshop for family and friends of victim survivors of childhood sexual abuse. A licensed clinical social worker will lead the program that will be offered on Saturday, January 14th, and again on Saturday, February 4th. For more information, call Kathleen Legdis at 312-534-5268. That's Kathleen Legdis at 312-534-5268.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. for a Monday morning, 9:12 in the morning. Wayne Magyars and Father Greg Sackwitz talking this morning with Kelly Wilda, who is the campus ministry director, and also Tim Masterton from St. Viator's and from St. Martin de Porres on the Bridges Retreat that took place between students of those two schools back in December.
No, Kelly or Tim, we're talking about the 35 young people who joined you for the retreat in December, but you know, sometimes we forget that. How did this whole retreat touch your life? We can sometimes so focus on the young people, which is very important, but you know, you are campus ministers, you know, you have your own feelings, your own thoughts. What did you come away from this retreat that touched your life in a special way?
You know, that's a great question. I think I'm still kind of sorting through my own answers and reactions to the retreat. I think before when you asked what our biggest surprises might have been, it's just always very encouraging and inspiring to see in some ways how easy it is that once you make the space for this type of experience to happen, the kids really take it and run with it. And in some ways, we go from ministers to witnesses because they take the leadership and go with it. And so that's really empowering to me and inspiring in my own faith life. And they also challenge me to look at these issues differently than I have even leading up to this retreat this year.
Kelly, how about you?
And I would absolutely go with what Tim said, but also I think so often we can go turn on the news or open a newspaper and we see the opposite of what this retreat brought out in the kids, where there's hate and there's disagreements or whatever that elevates to violence. And this, by the end of the retreat, the kids, especially by the end of the retreat, they were, you know, hugging and having fun and exchanging Facebook names and all of those things, and seeing the community that had been built between them just is very, it's a good reminder to me to continually work at those same things.
How do you know, or maybe you don't, if after a retreat like this, the participants kind of are changed, or they take it with them, they take what they've experienced, what they've learned as part of this this real immersion, if you will, into these various topics, back into the classroom to affect other students who are around them. Have you gotten any sense of that, even from previous experiences, Tim?
You know, I think that can be the most difficult part of really any retreat, students, adults, you know, whoever is on it, is the return to the real world and thinking about how it's going to affect you after the experience. And so we've tried to do a better job in the last couple of years, especially working with St. Martin de Porres and coming up with follow-up activities, whether it's a service event, a trip to a prayer vigil outside of a detention center, a lot of different ways that we can witness to these ideas and continue to enter into conversation with one another, get to know each other better, and make sure that these experiences stick. Now, of course, it's easier said than done sometimes, and it can be tricky with busy high schoolers, but that's certainly what we're aspiring to.
See, I've always found that when you go on retreat, and I've led retreats, you take people out of the world into 1, 2, or 3 day settings, and the tough part is, at the end of it, you know, young people are on a high, they feel good, they want to change the world, and then you go back into the real world with the fighting that goes on at home, in a neighborhood, in school, mom or dad out of work, and so just the reality of the tough world, but knowing that, you can throw up your arms and say, oh, why bother with this retreat, but it does make a difference. Because when you go out of the world for those couple of days, you come back in saying that I will be an agent of change, and it's one person at a time. And I'm sure that in the work that you do, you know, Kelly and Tim, though there are long days, there's a lot of preparation. But now tell us something about these three seniors who were your catalysts or leaders. What role do they play in guiding the whole two-day retreat?
Well, they do things throughout the actual retreat itself, where they're leading small groups, giving witness talks, that sort of a thing. But then also prior to and after, they help lead those conversations that we have with the large group or planning-wise. So the three that we had, you know, two of them especially are very involved with programs here at school, things that give them that voice and that the social standing, for lack of a better term, to be seen and being able to really stress the importance of carrying these things forth and encouraging their peers to, you know, live lives that are more in accordance with that Christian teaching of, you know, inclusivity and things like that.
Tim, we got just a couple of moments left. Going forward, is this a retreat experience something that's going to be kind of baked into the experience between both St. Vider and St. Martin de Porres in future years? How is it going to be changed, adapted? Have you had a time to do an assessment at this point yet?
You know, we're still in the midst of kind of going through that process of returning to, you know, everyday life, things like that. But I think we're really excited about the future, and the adults that have been involved throughout the past decade or so and continuing to this point, we're very open-minded and you know, we'll tweak things as best we see fit so that we can see if something works better or if they need more time to build relationships on retreat or they want a particular kind of follow-up activity. We're very, you know, flexible on that. And we try to make this the best experience it can be every year. And I certainly think the two schools are hoping to continue to make this a priority and continue these relationships and, you know, these ways of expanding our own viewpoints and the ways we're called to be Christians in everyday life.
Well, I want to thank in a very special way our two guests from the first segment. We've had Kelly Wilda and Tim Masterton, campus minister directors at St. Viator's High School, and they just came off a December retreat, high school retreat, between students of St. Viator's and St. Martin de Porres. I really want to say, you know, Kelly and Tim, you are doing a marvelous job. I can just, you know, hearing your voices, your enthusiasm, and you're tackling the tough issues. You're trying to make a difference in the world, in your own lives, but for the lives of other people. And so God bless the both of you for joining us here today on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities. And it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com. And sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community of Faith here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is 921. The weather today is supposed to be, I think, partly sunny and in the 40s. And Wayne,
and so we
the
don't
weather
lose,
continues.
So we don't lose our kind of tradition here. Did your team win this weekend, any of your wildcard teams?
Well, the Bears never made it into it.
Well, obviously, but any of your other favorites, or
the thing is,
really
I was kind of really hoping yesterday for Denver to beat
Pittsburgh,
and they did. Yeah. They beat them 29-23 in overtime, and you know, this Tim Tebow is he's like a phenom in terms of musters so much publicity.
I'm
because
concerned for
he's
your
a believer.
I'm
he's
concerned
a believer.
For your sports psyche. I just want to make sure that I go on record by saying that, because I get very concerned when you know the
do a whole show,
you know, the do a whole show. No the, you know, the Bears are out of it. The Bulls are you
Bulls
know,
are tough.
Just
Blackhawks are
struggling,
tough.
But, right? But you know you didn't mention anything this morning. I'm getting worried.
No, the thing is, we now have the playoffs continue next week. But a year ago, the Bears were in it, the NFC Championship, but not this year. No. Too many injuries. Right. Too many injuries. And our phone number 312. But by the way, thank you for asking.
My pleasure.
312-255-8408 on Catholic Schools Today. And our second segment, Catholic Schools Week 2012, is Sunday, January 29th through Sunday, February 5th. The theme is Catholic Schools, Faith, Academics, Service. Those are very good words. Schools typically celebrate Catholic Schools Week with masses, open houses, and activities for students, families, parishioners, and the community at large. St. Rene Goupil School has many activities planned for the week of Catholic Schools Week. They will prepare for Catholic Schools Week with a welcome mass for their new bishop on January 20th and the Sacrament of Confirmation a week later on January 27th. And with us via phone, the principal of St. Rene, Paula Calvert. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Who is the new bishop coming? Which one?
Bishop Vipich.
Okay. And he was on the radio program with us about 3 months ago. And so tell us what's going to be happening at St. Rene for Catholic Schools Week.
Well, a couple of things. Actually, through the month of January, we are starting out with our confirmation class, holding a fundraiser, and it's families helping families, and that's on the 19th. And that's with the purpose of this is to get money raised for St. Vincent de Paul. And 100% of the proceeds will directly benefit the needy people in our community. And we want this is our part of service that we are emphasizing with our confirmation class. Also, then the Mass with the Bishop, we wanted to invite the Bishop because he's new to our vicariate. And that's why he is doing our Mass for St. Sebastian on the 20th of January. On the 22nd, we have our open house. And we start with a family Mass at 9:30. And we have several of the students reading essays about why they come to, are happy they're coming to St. Renee's School. And, you know, all of those things about how wonderful we are, and we are.
It's a good chance to promote the greatness that's happening in your school and all the other Catholic schools in the Archdiocese.
That's right. And we also, during that Mass, thank our parishioners for all of their support over the many, many years that St. Renee School has been around.
Paula, give us an idea. How does the planning for all this kind of come together?
Oh, well, you know, a lot of work from many different people. We have our religion teacher, our pastor who supports all of us.
Who's the pastor there, Paula?
Tom Kasputis is our pastor.
Oh, tell Tom I say hello.
Oh, I will. And he's leaving us this year, unfortunately. But
has he been there 12 years already?
Yes, he has.
Wow.
Yes. But he's a great supporter of our school and very dedicated to providing religious services for our students and support. So this is my second year at St. Renee, and I really have enjoyed working with
it. Paula, tell us about the school, so maybe our listeners who may not be familiar, the students, programs, those types of things.
Okay, well, we have, first of all, our teachers, 75% of our teachers have master's degrees. Some of them are too young to have that yet. We have a full program, a three-year-old preschool through eighth grade. We have math and reading programs and after-school Spanish and art programs, which is new to St. Renee this year, and we're really doing very well. We have a well-rounded faculty, and they do a tremendous job with our students. I think our students' biggest, probably their best suit is the essays and writings and their language arts programs, and we're working a little harder on the math programs now.
Let me ask you this, Paula. In fact, it is your second year, so just like it is now my second year as pastor at St. Mary's in Evanston, that first year is always the hardest in getting to know names, places,
yeah,
and things. And even the second year,
right,
there's still a profound newness, but you have a year under the belt. What has really surprised you in now in a year and a half as principal at St. Renee?
The support that the parents give us. They are really we have very strong parent groups, very dedicated to the school and to volunteering and fundraising, and they get along well together. It's a small community here, a little segment of Chicago that really is tightly knit.
Located where?
It's around Harlem and 63rd Street.
Sure.
We're in Clearing, and it's just a great community. We have so much fundraising going on because we, of course, like every other Catholic school, need to do that and are trying to keep our programs updated and keep our school vibrant. We really work hard at trying to update our computer lab right now. That's what we're really focusing on, not only our computer lab, but, you know, the computers in the classrooms as well. So our support from our parents and parishioners is vital and is really going well.
And we want to talk about that in the broader context of Catholic education. Since Catholic Schools Week is coming up beginning on Sunday, January 29th. Our guest is Paula Calvert. She is the principal at the St. Renee School on Chicago's Southwest Side, and you're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Catholic Community of Faith, the Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. It's 9:29 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back. Wayne Magyars and Father Greg Sackwitz on Catholic Community of Faith. Catholic schools today for a Monday morning, January 9th. Already.
The 9th already, yeah.
The 9th of 2012.
I forgot to ask you, did you have any football favorites this weekend?
I did not. No, I did. No.
That doesn't surprise me.
Did not. Paula Calvert is our guest. She is the principal at St. Rene School on the Chicago Southwest Side, talking about not only St. Rene, but also Catholic Schools Week, which is coming up throughout the Archdiocese here, Sunday, January 29th through Sunday, February 5th. And Paula, let me ask you, as a two-year principal at St. Rene, and given all of the really good positive news and inertia that we hear continually about Catholic schools throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago, you have not only a very difficult job, but in some ways a job that is extremely fulfilling because of all of the good things that we can say, that you can say as principal about a Catholic education in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Tell us, if I'm a parent knocking on your door and I have a son or daughter who's considering enrollment at St. Rene's, tell us about give us the first two or three things that you say about why St. Rene, why Catholic schools, why Catholic education in the Archdiocese of Chicago over other schools.
Well, I think the most important thing is the family atmosphere in most Catholic schools. I mean, I was at another school for many years, and that is probably the benefit to being in a Catholic school because of the caring and family relationships within the school itself. And I think that's all part of what Jesus wants us to do. The caring atmosphere is what's most important.
It's interesting, Paul, by you saying that, that is such an intangible because you can't measure it like you would a test. Mm-hmm. You can experience it and feel it, and I'm sure other parents would even say the same like you, that it's a caring community, and it's something that is experienced, and yet we know never done perfectly like a family. We can disappoint each other, but that's the first thing that hits you, though.
Right, and I truly believe that if people are happy when they're coming to work, when they're working together in some social fashion as well, and when they're coming to school, if you feel good about it, you do a better job.
Oh, no question. Right. With morale of faculty and with parents, and it's everybody working together. Now, as Wayne asked that question, you know, why a child to come to, you know, St. Rene, what have you found so far to be the most challenging? Because, you know, as a principal in the Archdiocese of Chicago, you have, as Wayne mentioned, a very rewarding profession, ministry, but also incredibly challenging. So what have you found to be so far the most challenging aspect of your work?
Well, personally, it was a big change for me because I came from a school in West Humboldt Park that I was at for 29 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the community is totally different than it was in West Humboldt Park. So I think that was one challenge that I had, was learning what the community was like. The other challenge was getting a new faculty and learning my faculty,
mm-hmm.
And what they were about, and I was pleasantly surprised at how well they were educating the children at St. Rene. They're very dedicated and very professional, so I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I always find that when someone starts a new job, goes to a new school, you always admit that transitions are mm-hmm. difficult, transitions are messy. We never find change easy, and you admit that.
Well, you know, it was a matter of you can't go in and change the world.
Right.
You have to see what's going on first.
You listen.
And that was the way I did it.
And Paula, you mentioned, you know, the faculty and them really being the foundation of your work. Have you found that that there are, at least in the course of the last 2 years, that it's easy to keep them engaged, plugged in, and energized? Or are you always kind of working to make sure that the energy level and the commitment is up and there at St. Rene?
You always have to work at that.
Okay.
There's no doubt. I don't think anywhere you don't have that. You have to keep things moving. You have to do things a little differently sometimes, so you just don't stay in the same place. And I think that's what makes work a place that you want to come to, not the same old drudgery every day.
I think you hit on a good word, Paul, and that is, you know, I always talk to people about how do we handle the routineness of life, you know, the day in and day out, especially when you get into the Chicago winter. Now, Grant's been very mild, but still, you know, today's 35 or 40. It's, let's say, cloudy out. And so I always ask people, you know, what gets you out of bed in the morning and what energizes you? But how do we handle that routineness of life? And I always find for me, you begin the day with prayer. And there's a wonderful line that goes like this. Live each day as though it were your last, because one day you'll be right.
That's true.
It's true. You know, each day
absolutely
is a profound gift from God. And so, and I always know that my part of my morning prayer is, you know, Lord, what do you ask of me this day? And give me the courage to do it. Because that whole sense of not only in a marriage, but in raising a family, in our job, how do we handle the routine day in and day out? And for me, it's saying that each day is a profound gift from God. And you get one chance today to live out the gospel message of Christ. And that's hard sometimes when the bills are piling up, we're not feeling well, the weather is lousy. So that whole thing of being energized. And also as a principal, Paula, you have many great days, but you also, the human side is, you have many challenging days.
Oh, yes.
And now before we get off the air, please give us a website and phone number if someone wanted to contact you about having a child enter or learn more about St. Rene.
Okay, well, our website is St. Rene Goop Hills, Chicago.
Spell that whole thing out for people.
Okay, STRENEGOUPILCHICAGO.com.
Very good. And a phone number?
And the phone number is 773-586-4414.
That number once again.
773-586-4414.
I want to thank in a very special way Paula Calvert, the principal of St. Rene Goupil School in the Archdiocese of Chicago. They'll be celebrating Catholic Schools Week, not only at St. Rene, but the entire Archdiocese, January 29th through Sunday, February 5th. Paula, God bless you. Keep up the great work you do, and take it one day at a time.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Paula. We're listening to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after these breaks.
Ch
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is exactly 9:40 on this beautiful Monday morning, January 9th, here in Chicago. Our phone number 312-255-8408. Wayne, you got a busy week, don't you?
It is. It's a busy week, but it'll be good.
Well, here's the thing. For many people, last week was a week off because as I was driving, even during rush hour, Tuesday through Friday, the volume of traffic was rather light.
Yeah, and schools go back today, too.
And many schools go back today. I think the schools in the Archdiocese opened up last Tuesday or Wednesday, but many others as of today. And so for many people, like today is getting the whole Christmas season behind because today, officially, we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, not next Sunday, but today. So today is the last official day of the Christmas seasons. When people go back to church next weekend, we resume back into ordinary time.
So it's okay to take the Christmas trees down.
Yes, it is. Really, as of technically, the Christmas season would end today. We continue our program, Catholic Schools Today. St. Albie's Children's Choir began in 1990 under the direction of Robert Murphy. The choir consists of 60 to 100 students. The choir won the 1993 Voices of Tomorrow Gospel Competition. The choir has performed all over the Chicagoland area, including Chicago Gospel Festival, National Black Women's Expo, and other various festivals. And we have via phone with us the choir director of St. Albie's Children's Choir, Robert Murphy. Robert, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
And thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. And how many years you've been doing this, Robert?
24 years.
24 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, where were you raised and born, and how did this happen for you? I mean, have you always had a love for music since your own childhood?
I was raised up in music. My father and mother was entertainers and singers for many years with a lot of different entertainers out there, and I grew up in it. And I went to school. I majored in music. I also grew up in the Catholic faith at St. Sacred Heart on St. Milford, May.
Oh, sure, okay. So were you Chicago born and raised?
Yes, I was. Yes, I am. I was Chicago born and raised.
Tell us how you got the St. Albie Children's Choir going back in 1990.
Well, it started in 1989. When I was there, and they hired me to be the music teacher, and I asked the principal, who was then Sister Catherine, and she said, well, you can have the choir, but you would have to handle it yourself. So I started working with some kids. I got a few kids up, and we started singing and singing and singing, and before you know it, it started getting larger and larger.
How many did you actually start out with, Robert?
About 30 kids.
And 30 is now between 60 and 100 today?
Well, today is between 30 and 40.
Okay. Okay. In fact, when you started there, was the pastor Father John Collins?
No.
I'm trying to think of
During that time, we had, Father Bob Weiss, I think, and then Father, we had about three or four pastors.
Okay.
Father John Bressler, he was the one of the main ones that really pushed the choir with Sister Catherine and a lot of the faculty members.
So, Robert, is it safe to say that with these 30, really the seed was planted, and those those students then really become the catalyst and the peer mentors of other students who eventually join the group?
Oh, yes.
Now, have any of your students that have graduated gone on to high school or college or into like a music career?
A lot of them that did graduate with me have went on to professional careers, as in acting and singing, and went to college with full scholarships.
Now, it's very interesting is by what you have provided at St. Albie with the this choir, with your leadership, how you have literally been a catalyst for many young people. You have paved a way for a career that may never have happened if it wasn't for you and the opportunity you provided them.
Well, yeah, we know the Lord handles everything. So
yeah,
he gave me the strength to do it.
And I was just going to say that when you're practicing with these children, when you have like 30, 40, 50, or 60 children, are they from the ages of about, let's say, fourth grade through eighth grade?
Kindergarten through eighth.
Kindergarten through eighth. So how do you keep the whole group together?
Through faith and trusting in the Lord. Just keep on singing.
And that's got to be tough. What, you practice, what, once a week?
Every 2 weeks. I mean, twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
All right, Robert, I got to ask you. Does the show Glee, has that helped your efforts over the past couple, 3 years?
You know, not really. No.
Have you seen the show?
I have seen You've it, seen but no, it haven't helped me.
Okay.
See, I was doing it before Glee came out.
Is that a realistic, for those of us who aren't familiar with your world, is that a realistic interpretation, at least to some extent, of what it takes to kind of get kids together and get them motivated and get them acclimated?
I would say it's similar. But it's not really exactly the same, but it's similar.
Okay. All right.
You know, one main thing is that, you know, I've always been a professional musician anyway. So I came back in faith, working with a group called the Staple Singers, and I was with them 20 years. So I would come back, and Pop Staples, who has passed, would come in, and he loved the kids. He would come in and talk about those kids all the time. And he would try to tell all the people abroad about these St. Albie's kids. When we won the Quaker Oaks Gospel Competition, we was the only one from Chicago that won. We was at Grant Park, and all these famous singers was on stage, and they was praising St. Albie's kids.
Uh-huh.
And we were just praising the Lord.
That is terrific. Now, in all the years you have done this, Robert, I'm sure there has to be a few stories that stand out in your mind. You know, humorous, maybe not so humorous, but when you're dealing with children, you know, they are God's wonderful creation. And any particular story that stands out in your mind that really, you know, stopped you in your tracks or brought a big smile to your face or a burst of laughter?
Well, you know, it's a trip that the kids took to Jackson, Mississippi. We was down there singing in the Archdiocese schools of Jackson, Mississippi. And it was one school we went to, and there was this young man who was in a wheelchair. And at the end of our program, we were singing We Are the World, and I have the kids go out and grab or hold hands with one of the kids or a parent or whoever is out there, just and bring them to the front if you can, and we'll sing the song together. Well, my littlest girl went and got this guy who was in the wheelchair, and the cameras took a picture of that. And he said, "Do you see this? This little small girl went out there and grabbed this guy in this wheelchair, wheeled him to the in front of the gym where we were singing at, and we sung We Are the World." And all the newspapers down in Jackson grabbed that capture, and they said, "Oh, these must be the ambassadors for Christ from Chicago." Well, see, that was the name they gave us. We didn't give them that name.
That's a great story.
So but it was something to
the
see.
Smallest girl grabbed the hand of a young man in a wheelchair to bring him forward.
And tears was coming down.
That is terrific. And maybe you think about it, an older person would have not done that with someone in a wheelchair saying, well, they are unable to walk.
There you go.
But this little girl sees through that, goes right to that young man, and brings him forward. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Schools Today, part of Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is 949. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Madjars. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Our guest is Robert Murphy, the choir director of St. Albie Children's Choir in Chicago. We'll be back right after this break.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, Catholic Community of Faith, 950 on your AM dial.
You got all that in, Wayne.
All in one sentence. Did they fit all that on your business card?
Plus the phone number.
Plus the phone number. It is a Monday morning in Chicago on a continued mild winter, if you even could call it that.
However, wait, time out. I did hear that Wednesday evening into Thursday morning, a possibility of 3 to 6 inches of snow has maybe been forecasted according to a few of the forecasters.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm not listening to that. It's too far away. Robert Murphy is our guest. He is the choir director of St. Albie's Children's Choir, telling us a lot of wonderful stories, not only about his work with St. Albie's, but his background, his career. And we asked him about Glee and whether or not that was like real or not. And that choir, by the way, at St. Albie's won the 1993 Voices of Tomorrow Gospel competition. And, Robert, I have to ask you because you're dealing with young people,
a lot of energy,
trying to, in effect, if I can use the analogy of herding cats and trying to get them in the same direction, singing in the same key, singing in harmony, et cetera, et cetera. What keeps you going through all of this? And now that you've been doing this for so long, what kind of energizes you to get up and do this again
on
Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday?
You really want to know? Faith.
Good, okay.
Good answer.
Now, say more about that.
You know, each and every day, whatever the Lord has for me to do, He gives me the strength to do it. My motto is, if it's meant, then it will be. So if the Lord wants me to work with the kids, He'll find a way to keep me strong, and I'll be there with them. And I have been teaching them through his eyes how to do things. Like right now, the kids play the instruments as well as singing. I kind of went down a couple of years ago, but we still had performances. And the kids went out and did all those performances with an adult just supervising. They did the performance. And it's just something good to see, and what I get out of it is when they come back as young men and as young women, and you can see the manhood and womanhood in them, and you know you had something to do with that. And they out here working with families, and I always tell them, bring all them babies. I said, bring them all. I said, they're all my grandkids. Bring them all.
Do you realize, Robert, that in 1990, just throughout the date, an eighth grader in 1990 would be coming back to visit you today as a 35-year-old young man or young woman.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you realize that they have their own families. But isn't it funny, when you were talking about the faith part of it and, you know, being energized mm-hmm. to the Lord, it's a great line from St. Francis of Assisi, who once said, "Preach the gospel at all times. If right. necessary, use words."
Well, you know, and then one of our sayings that we have is touch somebody. Whenever you sing, whenever you talk, as long as you touch one person, you did your job.
And I think that's hitting right on the head, and because what you're doing with your work is truly a ministry, and it goes beyond just the teaching of the voice, the teaching of being choir, but it's what you're doing directly or indirectly is teaching the faith to the young people by both
right.
word and action.
That's right. Well, you know, and then I also have the band program there, and I have an engineering program.
You know, it's funny, I got to share this. I remember many years ago, a young priest was leaving a parish to move on to another parish. He was an associate. His time was up. He gave his closing homily. He was very active with teenagers in the youth ministry program.
Okay.
He was in the cafeteria afterwards greeting all the people from the parish to say goodbye, and a teenager comes up to him and says, "Father, I don't remember one word you ever gave in any of your homilies." So the priest was kind of rather disappointed that in 6 years he had been there and done a marvelous job, especially with young people.
Mm-hmm.
The young person said, "I don't remember one word or story you gave in any of your homilies," but he said, "I do know this. You loved us kids. You loved us kids." And that's what the priest walked away with, saying he touched their hearts. Not so much, they're not going to remember the words from a homily, because the kids said, "I don't remember anything." But he said, "You loved us kids," and that made all the difference in the world.
That's true.
And I'm sure with your own ministry is, you know, the young people now coming back in their 20s and 30s to visit you. I'm sure, do you get once in a while a graduate, like in the last couple of months, that has come back to you, or a Christmas card, and you say, "Oh my Lord, I remember this young man or young woman."
Oh yeah. And you know, every year we have an alumni concert, and my alumni has come back, and I can't do nothing. I'm sitting there crying. To see all of them come back, you know, and they're doing things. You know, but yeah, we do it every year. We've been doing it every year for the last 15 years. And to see them come back, like you say, 30, 35 years old, a lot of them, doctors, majority of all of them went to college, got their degrees, you know, and that makes you feel good.
Among the students you work with, Robert, do you find that it's that the work you do, and obviously it's more than teaching choir, it's the message, it's the faith, and everything else that you so clearly articulate that's behind it. Do you find that among your students, especially at St. Albie's, that it's kind of contagious, that once the student kind of gets it and understands that what your work is really about, that bringing other students into the fold, if you will, is pretty easy to do?
Well, you know, I think what it is, they find out later on. They don't really see it there as kids, but they, in fact, have them don't know what we're doing except for touching somebody. But when they get older, then they go back to it and say, "You know what? I understand what Mr. Murphy was talking about."
Mm-hmm. What parish do you belong to, Robert?
Oh, the church I belong to is at St. Albie's.
Oh, because that's actually your parish, too, where you worship on Sundays.
Well, not really, because I'm at St. Killian, too. I'm a minister of music.
Oh, okay, it's St. Killian.
At St. Killian.
We need to bring this program to a close. We want to thank, in a very special way, Robert Murphy, the choir director of St. Albie Children's Choir here in Chicago. Robert, you have done marvelous work. God bless you. You are a man of faith.
Thank you.
Keep up the great ministry, and blessings into the new year. Want to thank, in a wonderful way, Wayne Magyars from Loyola as the co-host. It's been 3 weeks since we've teamed up for radio. Wayne, I think we are again on one day the next couple of weeks.
Next week. Mark your calendars.
Mark your calendars. Want to thank also our producer, Jasmine Kritos, for a wonderful job, and our great engineer, Michael May, who did say on the screen here that with the 3 to 6 inches of snow expected this week, only in Evanston. And so God bless all our listeners, and take one day at a time. The Lord loves you. And the Lord holds you always in the palm of his hand. Have a great day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.